Welcome to the Grace Place Weekly Podcast. No matter your size, age, shade, or background, here you'll receive compelling lessons suited to help guide your walk with Christ and your relationships with others. Please join us now for this week's podcast, recorded live from Grace Place in St. Paul, Minnesota.
My theology has been changed over the years. I've grown in grace, and I believe that Jesus said, the first commandment is that you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. I don't see any place in the New Testament to operate out of fear. Somebody should say, praise the Lord. Your pastor does not promote shame. I don't think you ought to do anything out of shame. I think you ought to do it out of love. I think you ought to do it because you have faith in God. You may go because, and you may not feel good. You may press through and you say, well, I'm going out of my own personal discipline. No, what you're doing is going out of faith. You're believing that things will get better, so you go in spite of how you feel sometimes. How many of you have ever done that? That's faith. That's faith. But I'm going to tell you, don't give out of necessity. How many of you know that's scripture? Don't pray because it's a program. Don't read your Bible because you're on a Bible reading program. Don't come to church out of guilt. Just don't ever do it again. Don't ever do it again. You're wasting your time. There's no reason to do it. Because your attendance doesn't impress him. Your acts of righteousness, he's not impressed. Is that right or not now? I'm just trying to tell you, I know it's hard, and I know we've got to, I have just a little while left of my life to promote this, but I'm telling you, we need to change the whole idea of Christianity in this Western theology. Don't serve God out of fear. Don't go because you're afraid of going to hell. Serve the Lord because you love him. Develop a love for the Lord. See what he's done for you and remember to be thankful. And you'll find yourself having church more than when you're in this building. Help me somebody. You'll have church. You'll have the presence of God. You'll be ministered to in a very personal way when you're away from this building because he's a personal God. And that idea that I just told you is progress. It's progress because it's very hard to leave religion and the things that you were taught. It's hard to leave all those ideas behind and become what God has called us to be. It's a difficult thing to change your mind. Amen? Everybody that's married to somebody you tried to change their mind say it's hard to change somebody else's mind. Hard, right? What a challenge. So change your mind today. The Bible says repent and believe. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It means change your mind and believe the good news. Today I'm going to give you some good news. Now, can you focus with me for just about 3 or 4 minutes? Before I preach to you, I want to lay a foundation from Matthew chapter 17. This is one of the strangest stories in the whole Bible. It's really weird. It's repeated 3 times, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I'm going to Matthew chapter 17, and it's the same story. It's repeated several times. Do you have a Bible? Is anybody carrying a Bible? Some of you have electronic Bibles. Bob, the top of chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17, what does it say? The transfiguration, does anybody else have a Bible that you see that? There's not another place on earth that we use that word than in church. It's the weirdest idea. And I'm going to read the story to you. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother James, led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. What in the world does that mean? Well, his face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. One writer said, like lightning. He was just transfigured. He turned into light, radiant, blinding light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Everybody say, whoa, whoa. Come on now. He's white like lightning. His face is shining. And there's Moses and Elijah talking to him. One of the Gospels says they were talking to him about his death or his departure. So these two people came from the netherworld, met Jesus on this mountain while he is brightly shining, while he's transfigured. Peter, I suppose if you know anything about Peter, you'd think, well, this is probably right. Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I put up three shelters or three tabernacles or three temples or three monuments, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Great story. How many of you imagined it in your mind? Shining, awesome light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appear. These guys are wide-eyed. It's making them crazy. Moses and Elijah have this conversation with Jesus. These men are trembling. A cloud envelops them. Bright lights. A voice. This is my son. Listen to him. Fades away. Jesus touches them. Get up, guys. It's all right. Don't be afraid. But don't tell anybody what you just saw until after the resurrection. Strange story. Friday night, actually Saturday morning, just this last Saturday, about 5 in the morning, I had a dream. And it was late enough in my sleep and peculiar enough that I remembered it. Is there anyone here that has dreams and sometimes you remember them? Let me see people that don't ever seem to remember dreams. Let me see. Some of you? How many of you have had dreams that you thought were significant? So I dreamed it was the 4th of July. And the hill, green, and some big trees and people had gathered. It was a great crowd of people. It was like gathering to watch the fireworks later, but it was in the middle of the day. And as I was, we were, Terry and I, and some people, we were walking kind of through the crowd, the joy, the sounds, the smells of the picnic. I knew it was the 4th of July, and I ran into a young man that used to be in our family, no longer in our family, a nephew. And they've been divorced, and he had a great career. He lost his job, lost his family, lost his marriage, had a real strong sense of ministry when he was a young man. As a matter of fact, he came here and spoke to our young people. Was, you know, trying to figure out the direction for his life. Had a professional career, but all of that had gone away, and he had moved on and away from his calling. And I ran into him in this dream, and I said to him, don't let anything in your past stop you. Don't let where you are right now stop you. Keep moving. Keep moving in the Spirit. Don't reason your way out of progress right now. I know it's been years, and I know you've been in trouble. And he started to cry, and he was listening, and I was preaching to him, man, you got to go on. Get back up. The ministry is real. All these things will fade away. Get back on track. Come on, let's go. Keep moving. Keep moving. And we were getting excited about the idea that God recovers us. And we came by a swimming pool, and we got in the pool, and I baptized him again. And I was all excited, just so happy. It looked like in those few minutes he'd been renewed, restored completely. So, and I turned to Terry and I said, I just baptized him again. And I was all excited, and I woke up. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, keep moving. You, me, keep moving. Just keep moving. Don't get stuck. Don't let things stop you. So I prayed, reading my Bible. He leads me to this story. And it dawns on me, because I have a pretty good knowledge of the Old Testament stories, how much Moses had gone through in his life, the ups and downs. How he died. How Elijah had been through so much in his life, and he had had ups and downs and terrible times. The prophet of God was suicidal. He was so distraught. And it's these two guys standing by Jesus on this mountain, telling him, encouraging him about his passion, about his death, about his departure. And it dawned on me, Moses could have thrown his hands up in the air and said, I failed. I quit. Elijah, he said, I just want to die. And God said, no, there's more people you don't know about. There's something going on you don't see, Elijah. And so they came to Jesus to say to him, keep moving. Keep going. We want to talk to you about what's going to happen in Jerusalem. You're headed for death, but you keep going. Do you know that Moses said to God at the burning bush, is there someone else that you could send back to Egypt? Not me. Did you know he said that? And do you know that in the garden Jesus prayed, man, if I can get past this cup, please let me. Moses told him, I tried to get out of it. I understand what you're feeling, but you got to push past that. Keep moving. Don't let discouragement get you, Jesus. Don't stop. Don't stop here. Don't stay on this mountain. Don't get stuck here in this glorified moment. You can't hang on to your past victories. You can't stay there. You got to keep moving. And I said to this young man, keep moving. Keep moving forward. Woke up. I'm praying. I'm thinking about the people here today, and I'm praying for several families. I have a list in my phone, my prayer request. I'm praying to God. Several families that are connected to our church are going through divorce right now. Several families right now are suffering incredible, devastating situations. Several very sick people. And I got this list and I'm praying. And it's like the Lord's saying to everybody, just keep moving. Don't stop in your pain. Don't get stuck in your victory. Keep moving. There's something more coming that you don't know about. Don't get stuck at that loss. And I prayed till about 9 o'clock. I was just overwhelmed with this faith. My phone rings and it's Jack Kinney, my buddy from Indiana, who we talk often during the week, but maybe once every 3 or 4 or 5 months on a Saturday morning. And he called me. And he said, Mickey, I had a dream and I got to tell you about it. He said it was the 4th of July. And I'm standing in line trying to get into this place where we're going to watch the fireworks. Several lines. And everybody was orderly. There was a foot or two between everybody. And I had two of my friends, my children's friends, two young men with me. And I realized the lines are long and moving slow. And it's not time for fireworks. But I realized if we don't do something, we're not going to see the fireworks. So he said, I turned to my buddies and I said, we got to keep moving. Well, it shocked me. I've seen people act crazy. I've seen Pentecostal people just get out of hand. We used to be called holy rollers because folks would just get overwhelmed and fall on the floor and roll around. We got some people in this church, when the Spirit moves, they'll jump up and holler. Me, I dance around. Kathy, it shook me. The Holy Spirit shook me like an old-time prophet. I literally shook up off that chair. Stop! What did you say? He said, I told him, we got to keep moving. I said, Jack, that's what the Holy Ghost spoke to me in a dream. And that's what I've been thinking about now, about Elijah and Moses. And this is about a 3-week deal in my head. I preached to you for several weeks that you are the beloved. You're a child of God. You are not what everybody said you are. You are not what you have. Come on, help me if you remember. You are not what they said. You are not what you have. You are not what you do. You are a child of God. Because the Spirit of God in me was trying to encourage you to make sure that you know. Don't let anybody talk you out of making progress now. Don't think that because of your failure, you can't keep moving. Don't think because somebody else has done something that it defines your life. Hear what I'm telling you today. The Spirit of God is saying to you, keep moving. And when I read about Moses and Elijah, I realize, would you please look with me if you have a Bible? Would you go to Numbers chapter 33? This is another second weirdest thing I'll show you today. That story is weird on the Mount of Transfiguration. I don't know anybody that's ever done anything like that again. And I want to show you something in Numbers chapter 23. Now, can you help me back there? Somebody tell me what the top of Numbers 33, Numbers 33, tell me what the top of that says. What does your Bible say at the top? 33, Numbers 33. Remembering Israel's journey. Anybody else have something at the top of your page? The journey. Mine reads, stages in Israel's journey. Everybody say stages. Would you tell somebody? Just look at somebody and say, stages in your journey. What does that imply? What does that statement imply? Stages in the journey. What's that imply to you? What does it make you think? Stages in the journey. There's a journey, and there's certain stages along the way, right? The stages aren't the journey. The stages are stages in the journey. There are things that happen along the way. Get it? And so I'm going to do this real quickly. I just want you to, if you can put 33, let's start at verse 3. These are the stages. Go to verse 3, and I'll just do this, and we'll fly down through this. The Israelites set out from Ramesses on the 15th day of the first month, the Passover. This is when they're leaving Egypt. All right, we're going to slip down. Verse 6, they left Sukkoth. Verse 7, they left Etham. Verse 8, they left, I don't know how to say that. Verse 9, just kidding. I read all these out loud, and I think I'm not even going to try to do that in front of you. Verse 9, they left Mara. Verse 10, they left Elam. 11, they left the Red Sea. They left the desert of Sin. 12, 13, Tophka. 14, they left Alush. I want you to get the rhythm of this. 15, they left Rephidim. 16, they left the desert of Sinai. Do you get the rhythm? They're on a journey. And Moses, who's probably one of the smartest men that ever lived, actually in his diary kept the list of the places they went. Does it make sense? These are the stages. And it's actually listed where they went, city by city. That's what Numbers 33 is. I'm not asking you to go read it any more than the begets. And this guy beget that guy, and this guy beget that guy. It'll drive you nuts. But I want you to, if you would, please, if you have your own Bible or with the guys in the back, please skip down to verse 36. And if you have a Bible, you'll just see that every verse is the same. They left here and went here. They left that place and went to this place. They left that place and went to the next place. And they left that place and went to the next place. It's a whole chapter full of that. And then you get to verse 36. They left Ezion Geber and camped at Kadesh in the desert of Zin. They left Kadesh and camped at Mount Hor on the border of Edom. At the Lord's command, Aaron the priest went up on Mount Hor, and where he died on the first day of the fifth month, the 40th year. Everybody say 40th year. After the Israelites came out of Egypt, Aaron was 123 years old when he died on Mount Hor. Look at 41. Put 41 up here for me. They left Mount Hor and camped at Zalmona. Next verse. They left Zalmona and camped at Punan. Does it look like we're back in rhythm? Next verse. They left Punan and camped at Oboth. Here we go again. Boom, ba-doom, 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 ba-doom. But what I want you to see is back at 36, back at Mount Hor, back at Kadesh, 40 years, this is the end of the journey. Stay with me. God said to Moses, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. They come out of Egypt. How many of you know that they went to the Red Sea? How many of you know that God led them to the Red Sea? Led them there. Led them to a place where they were going to be trapped. Mountains on both sides and the Red Sea in front and Pharaoh's army behind. God led them there. In case you wonder why you're going through what you're going through, it's a stage. It's a place, Cindy. And when they got there, God said, Moses, stretch out your rod. And the Red Sea parted. And they walked through the sea on dry ground. How many of you think that's a great story? That's a miracle. How many of you think that if you were there, you'd want to go poke holes in the sides and look in there and just see? I just would like to see what's holding, wouldn't you? How many of you fishermen would like to look in there and say, oh, the fish. Am I right? I would like to hang out there. But it's a stage. You can't stay in the middle of that miracle. Well, I'd love to stay here. This is a miracle. This is a big time deliverance. Came out of the Hope Rescue Mission. I got off of drugs. I got my little coin for another 6 months. I just want to stay. No, it's a stage. Just like failing is a stage. Just like heartache, just a stage. Keep moving. Tell somebody, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. And so they come through the Red Sea. That's the beginning of the journey. They come to Kadesh, and Moses sends spies into the promised land. How many of you know the story? They spy the land, but they come back with a bad report, and the children of Israel from Kadesh turn and go back into the wilderness. How many of you know that's one of the great tragedies in the scripture? Because they would not go in, God said, you're going to go 40 years. Everybody 20 years, 21 years old and older is going to die. You're going to wander for 40 years. Stay with me. So we got Kadesh the first time. Now we've come 40 years back to Kadesh. At Kadesh, the people cried, we don't have any water. We've been out of Egypt. We came through the Red Sea, but we don't have any water. God said to Moses, strike the rock, and the water will come out. And he did. Water came out of the rock. 40 years have passed, and all these, and they went here, and they went there, and they went here, and they went there. And we come back to Kadesh, and God said, Moses, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. Have faith. Speak to the rock. And water's coming out. This is all a type of Jesus. He's the rock. They smote him. But you don't smite him again. Now you speak and you have the authority. I can't get into that today. But I'm telling you that when God said to Moses, speak to the rock, what happened? Moses smote the rock. And it, right there in 36, 37, and 38 of Numbers 33 is where God said, Moses, because you were rebellious, because you did not obey, you are not going into the promised land. You'll see it, but you can't go in. Please go back to 39. He's 123 years old. Aaron dies, 40. The king says, the Israelites are coming, 41. Look at me. Moses, you just blew it. You just blew it, boy. And everybody's going to preach this for thousands of years. But God said, let's keep moving. Keep moving, son. Don't get stuck in your failure. Don't get blown away by your crazy slapping the rock, by your violence. Show me 42. And they left there and went to Pun in verse 43. They left Pun and went to about 44. They went there and went to Eliabrim. What? He just smote the rock. He just blew the whole story. He just wrecked the whole type of Christ and the anti-type. He just blew it. You know what God said? Let's keep moving, Moses. Your failure doesn't define you. That's not the end of the story. That's just a picture, and I got a video. I'm not taking pictures, and I'm not keeping record of your wrongs. Get this. Because the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Moses. Keep moving, Moses. Because my son is going to be standing on a hill and need to know that in spite of all the madness, and even though you're begging to get out of this, you can do this. Keep moving until you're standing with Jesus hundreds of years later, bringing little encouragement. It's not about your failure. It's not about the stages. Are you listening to me? It's about you keep moving.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope this message has been a blessing to you. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes. To learn more about Grace Place, please visit our website at graceplacemn.org. Thanks for listening. May God bless you this week.